Hey, Jasmine.
Hey, Ash.
Do you feel like you have to smile?
We've been over this.
I know. It was just like, I felt like we were being real. And then I felt all of a sudden it was like showtime. And I was like, should I be smiling?
Well, I'm not now. Don't worry.
I'm sorry.
That's over.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it.
And we think that's great. We're recording today from stolen Ohlone land.
We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
You let them know, boss.
I just, I feel like we're in the business of authenticity. If the show is,
I don't know why. It's just like, I can't tell you what it feels like to be like questioned about my, I don't know. It's just like, yeah,
sorry.
Sometimes I smile. I don't know. You've asked me a number of times about it.
Yeah.
Answer hasn't changed. It just is what it is. I don't have to smile.
No, I mean, I'm just like, I don't want for you to feel like you have to smile, which is my issue entirely, trying to control anything
that
you do.
Remember that meme about that baby in the backseat and the dad?
Worry about yourself.
Anyway. What is up?
Not much. What's up with you?
I was excited to record. We're recording a little bit differently than normal. Kylie's not here with us tonight because it is night. Mm-hmm. And night in California is like deeper night in New York. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go solo. Duo. We're going to go duo on this one. Mm-hmm. And so that is up. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to record tonight. I like a night recording. Mm. It's funny when I feel like we haven't. I'm having this funny thing about lights right now, how nice it is we watch the sunset tonight together in the backyard, and then we're going to record after, and then you have to turn on these like lights because we're doing video now. We didn't when we started. And it's just funny. I'm like, artificial day, you know?
Oh, interesting. It feels just like night lighting to me. It's like you have the lights on.
Yeah.
And so there's lights on. I kind of prefer the light.
Maybe it's like new for me or something. I'm like getting used to it.
Maybe. I feel like it's been a long time since we recorded, so that's part of what's interesting to me about this. It's been a couple of weeks. A lot has happened in these couple of weeks.
That is so true. Well,
yeah.
Doesn't it always, though?
It's not any more than usual, I think. But I do think that a few different notable things have happened. And it's been a while since we recorded, so we thought that we'd just check in.
Yeah. And you're traveling, which is some of what has been happening these last bit. How are you? Are you tired from traveling? You literally flew all day. Not all day.
I didn't fly all day.
Short travel, but like big work.
I mean, yes, that is true. Yes, there's travel. I mean, it's not, when you think about like one to Barack Obama, it's not like that much travel, but it was not, I was not here.
On a scale.
I have moved around quite a bit recently. And yeah, it's definitely... It's provoked a lot. I'm tired for sure.
I like that scale that you used.
Yeah, I think about him a lot lately, or in general. I think about when I think about compartmentalizing and being able to manage everything and hold everything together and building everything. Mm. I think about having to just put stuff into boxes and bins. And being able to like give something 15 minutes, like give it my full attention for 15 minutes and then like let it go and move on after that, which is very alienating and isolating and pretty lonely, pretty fucking lonely actually. But it is softened by this kind of connection. And being able to like not be alone. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too dark?
I am just wondering, like, we were having such a sweet, sweet time just before. And then as we started to get set up, you started to get really rushed. You were like, why aren't we going fast enough? And I'm just like, isn't that why, part of why we're recording tonight is like, it's not, we can just take it easy. And so that's on my mind a little bit.
I think I'm tired.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think I'm like, I just like want it to be done. This is something that's up for me right now. It's like, I feel like I have to like do stuff, you know, I have to like, I have to get the content made. I have to like be turned on. I have to like get the job done. Excuse me. And I don't prefer it, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you bringing up the abrasive part for you. But one of the things that comes up for me is like I want to like be tighter with work. I want for us to have more precision and like not be dilly-dallying or like not be like not on a schedule. And that gets ignited for me when we are getting things set up. So I'm like, I want it to be tighter. I want it to be more precise. And I get frustrated. And I think that comes out. And I think that's probably what you're feeling.
Okay.
What does that bring up for you?
I just kind of want to stop.
I hope not. I know that.
I don't think that, I don't like what we're doing. I'm not going to keep making a show where we're just fighting with each other.
I'm not trying to fight. I'm not trying to fight. You asked me, and I was just answering your question. And I'm not saying it to be, I'm not trying to start anything or like be fighting with you at all. I was just trying to answer your question.
Okay.
I feel like I could have been more diplomatic or like thought of a different way to say it.
I just feel like since we got in this room, you've just been really like looking down on me and sort of talking to me kind of rude. And like, I'm just like, since I went to that ceramic studio, been in a better mood and like felt more like levity and gratitude and grace than I have in like a week. And so I'm just kind of like, hey, like, is there something we can talk about before we do our work together? Because I just don't know that I want this energy, and I don't
want it either.
Love the idea of continuing to record a show where we just didn't ground first or something, you know?
Totally.
And I think the time is worth it. I apologized to you for me going to get water. Because I was like in this space of like, oh shit, I'm fucking up by taking so long. And I'm just like, I don't want to be like that. That's on me. So I don't have to. But I do want to just let you know that I didn't mean to wrap my head around that.
You didn't hurt me.
I feel you.
Something to, it's just something for me to.
I'm working with it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mean to seem like you hurt me. I'm just saying it's like, it's not factored into a part of my flow with the show, I think, is what it is. So I'm like trying to get there.
I'm not trying to bring your mood down with my stress. I think I'm just stressed out, honestly. Yeah, I just have a lot of different things to think about. And that's not on you either. You chose this life. I chose this life.
Totally.
And like, I know that. I know I'm bearing it, not gracefully.
It was just a switch for me that I just wasn't.
Totally.
I was just like, whoa, I was so excited to come in because we were just on such a sweet note.
Totally.
And I feel like I don't think I did anything to make you mad at me or something, you know?
No, I think I'm just becoming more impatient in these different ways that I can be present to. Like, I have all of these new ideas. They're not really new ideas, but it's like holding myself to a certain standard and then like looking at everyone around me and wanting to hold them to that same standard. So that I'm like, okay, how are we doing? What am I doing? How is what I'm doing reflected here? Mm. And that's what you're seeing. It's actually not even about you. It's me being mad at me or me being critical of me and then reflecting that onto you.
Okay.
So I appreciate the opportunity to sound that out.
I was feeling the same sinking feeling as when we start fighting on the show. I'm just like, God, I don't want to be doing this, you know?
I don't want to be doing this either. And I mean, it's something that Angel was actually saying earlier today about like making videos about how the work gets done, like how about empire building. And I'm like, she said it and I was not thinking of them, but I'm thinking now, like, I feel like that's all I'm ever doing. It's just like videos about like what empire building looks like. And it's like, does it not look glamorous, or am I making it look not fun? It's not. Okay. People who are glamorizing it are glamorizing it. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it seem like, oh my God, look, if you just do exactly like what I'm doing, then you'll have all the things that you dream of. And I'm like, no, I feel you totally. That's a really effective and impactful way to sell something. I don't find it to be based in reality or rooted in reality. And so I don't really connect with it, but I definitely see why other people would. But ultimately, like, that's what a lot of this show feels like to me. It's like us talking about how it's empire building, our empire within ourselves together, the building of our relationship, the work that we do professionally. And that's a lot of my shit. It's like just trying to figure out how to balance all this.
Totally.
It's not really graceful or pretty.
It just makes it seem like none of it's graceful or pretty. And some of it really is actually very graceful and quite pretty. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm like, I was feeling that sunset as both graceful and very pretty. Mm-hmm. I was like excited to bring some of that energy in. And so I'm just like, can I, this is my work right now, this is what I'm calling in also, can I within myself maintain like a stable force of who I am, even in the midst of like people whom I love and want to influence me are like feeling different, you know? And that's another thing, like, can I stay passionate about the things I believe in, even when I'm around people who disagree? That's never really been a problem. What?
Is that right?
What?
So, like, staying passionate even when people...
Not never. Yeah, there's definitely chameleon stuff that has happened in my life. But recently, it has been, like, a marker of, I feel like, maturity for me to find myself in conversation with people who I really like and really want to like me and really want to respect me. And I still say all the things on my mind. Because sometimes, you know, in my past, I've like learned people don't really fuck with everything I think and say. And so, you know, if I like at a job interview or if at a, you know, whatever, like that's an extreme example. When I'm around cool kids, for instance, I would be like not saying things they didn't want to hear. And it always made me feel really spineless and shitty.
Totally.
So I found that like since my Saturn return, really, and since I've been working on this concept of like, telling the truth all the time as much as I can. It's like, it's a different impact to be like noticing that I'm like, no, you're not going to like this, but I actually feel differently than you about that. Mm-hmm. Like if it's pertinent in conversation, but
totally,
it does feel like a grown ash moment or something. I hate to put like a weird age thing on telling the truth or, you know, wellness trajectory or whatever, but it does feel like now and not before. So
totally. I feel like on the topic of like bringing, you said that you're calling in like holding, like if you're feeling sweetness, being able to hold that even whenever you're someone around you is not experiencing sweetness. And something, and that's real.
You do that so well now that I'm thinking about it. Sorry.
So this is my thing. I feel like I am holding all the different emotions all the time. And letting them all be there. And a lot of people are not. They're like trying to exclude certain emotions.
Definitely posi-core bullshit.
Yes. Sure. And they get mad whenever someone is disrupting that reality. Yeah. And so my thought is that I'm experiencing happiness even when I'm experiencing sorrow. That the sorrow, experiencing the dark, the true depth and ickiness, like the blah flavor, the like fucking like unctuous nasty flavor underneath. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for.
I love,
it's just like fucking nasty
that.
Like some like that bad
repugnant.
Yeah, but like that odor, smelling that, tasting that, like really letting that be there is a part of experiencing the joy and the pleasure. And it is really helpful for me whenever there are people who can just be like, I'm keeping on the sunny side. I'm sunny right now. I'm feeling good. And I don't really give a fuck what you're doing. Because it's a reminder that, like, that's all everything is also. But it's like, that's it. That's it.
Keeping on the sunny side.
No, the... experiencing the darkness is the same, is a part of experiencing the levity and the joy. And that it makes it easier, I think, to hold the joy and not to hold the joy even whenever other people are not holding the joy, when you are also experiencing the sorrow and the sadness and the bleakness. Because otherwise, I think it's like you just kind of go with the wind of whatever anybody else is doing.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah. But yeah. I have very powerful emotions. You said that I can hold an emotion even whenever other people are doing something else.
Yeah.
Like to a fault where I will like color all the space around me with like some shit that like can't get rid of.
It definitely, I'm wondering how much it plays into like when you seem like you're not all that interested in the, like reading the room, you know? It's like, you're like, I'm doing my thing. So does that feel like something to you?
Like,
cause like, I'll be like in a bad mood and you'll be in a really good mood and you'll be like maintaining your good mood. And I'll be like, good mood haver. And I'm like jealous and I want to be in a good mood, but I'm like feeling whatever. I'm not getting past something. I'm not accepting something usually about myself, or it's just like something happened. It's like, I'm bummed out, whatever. And you'll just be like, it's a good day. I love my life. This is a great job. I did a cool thing, whatever. And I'll be like, not into it, or like, yeah, like frustrated about it kind of, or like not wanting to share space. Cause it's like deep down, it's that I don't want to fuck with your mood. Like deep down, I know that I would be sad. I am sad when I ruin a good time of yours, you know? But what it feels like is like jealousy, pretty classic jealousy. But you know,
no, I mean, I was just going to say like, I've feel like when that happens, that it strengthens my joy and calls me to it more, because I feel that like that there's a need for more of it, that like it needs to be, and it sucks. Oh my God, I hate when I get pulled down into the vortex of sadness, of somebody else's sadness, because it's like, but it is helpful, because then there's a need to break through and up and out of it again. But that you have to go to this dark, seething place of anger sometimes for me. You help me instigate that sometimes. Like we will end up in fights where it's like there's only like you will push me past the place where I've been like, no, I'm good. Like I can hold this. I can hold this. Like, no, there are a lot of emotions here, but I can hold this. And you'll just be like, you can't hold it. Or why are you trying to hold it? And then I will erupt. And I always feel so much better after that, because I was not being honest. I was not being authentic and true. I wasn't feeling all of it. So that's always really helpful for me. What I'm calling in this week. That was the original question. What am I calling in this week? I'm experiencing a lot of joy right now, and a lot of joy, a lot of excitement. And I would like to experience that more so than like the fear and nervousness and anxiety that comes along with like making any kinds of decision, like any kind of starting a new thing or, there's a lot, I'm doing a lot of tilling the soil. There's a lot of projects that are just, I'm always like starting a new project where like, there's like, you just are in the beginning part for a long time. And like, I'm very critical all the time of every single piece of the puzzle. So then I'm like critical of like the beginner shit. Meanwhile, I have projects that are like years old and like need the same, more maintenance than they needed in the beginning. And I will get caught up in like the, oh my God, the fucking, what is this? The scream, this aspect of the work. But like the building of it, there is so much joy in the building of it. There's so much joy in tilling the soil and just like, just getting a shovel, you know, like you'll be
it's
out
shiny.
Here, like,
it's like new. Everything's like.
And the work feels good. It feels like at the end of the day, you're like, wow, look at all these things that I accomplished. Like they're very tiny things that we are not move that far forward, but there's more happening now than there was before. And it's like very gratifying. And that I'm calling it. And it's just like really enjoying the process of it. I've been thinking about that song November by Tyler, the Creator, and how he asks in this song, what's your November? Is it a person? Like, is it a, he's asking like, no, he's saying that November is this idea of the best time. When was it the best? Like, when, what was the part of the journey that was the best? And like that part of the journey, when it's happening, I feel like you don't know that it's happening sometimes because it's so brutal. Like, it'll be like, yeah, we don't have any money, or like, I don't know how we're going to like keep this alive. Like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, but it's also like exciting. That's usually when you're like really leaning into love and leaning into like the people who are around you. That's and true. Like you're eating that joy. And that joy is so much purer than any money or any accolade or any, there's no amount of manufactured gratification that can match that feeling of just like, just being in it for the love of it. And like, I think a lot about what my November is or has been. And it's always been the times when like, it was, you know, like shit was kind of hard. And so I'm trying to enjoy the hard part, but also be excited and live into the part that is exciting.
Boy, now I'm thinking about mine.
What's your November? Is it a person?
It was a moment, and it was like an era. I was maybe like 23 to 25 in that range. Maybe younger, actually. 22, 23. Anyway, it was like this, it was this time when we would go to a lot of local band shows in Durham, and we had our favorite bars, and we had our living local. We walked everywhere, and I lived with a bunch of my best friends, and all the other ones lived like right around the corner in this one neighborhood. It was just like a time. It was like a real specific time in life, time moment. That's what I thought of when you said that. It was just like this, we were just making so much art and just like constantly like, we were definitely broke as fuck. All of us so broke. And we would like, oh, we dumpster dive. Like we had one of my friend's boyfriend was called the dumpster fairy, and he would just drop huge things of produce off on each of our doorsteps. We had literally, there were three houses that were like each a block away from each other.
Was it like rent?
Exactly.
It was like it was like Southern fried rent. No, it literally, your situation was literally Southern fried rent. 100%.
So we don't take that.
You see that musical. Somebody needs to put that out.
That's true. I'm not going to, so it's fine.
Go ahead. What's yours?
My November, one of my Novembers was the Mateo years. I think also when I was working in measurement and Mateo. So this is like when I was like 26 through 29, something like that. And like, there was a lot going on. Like, there's part of me that wants to say I was drinking way too much, but like, it just, I was drinking a lot. I was hanging out with people who drank a lot, which, I mean, we have fun.
It was like a restaurant thing, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that's context. Culture.
Yeah.
So that's a culture for sure. I also think that it's a part of your job in a way that can become problematic for some people, but it's like you can't not do that. Even if it's just like building camaraderie with people. Folks, you know, I think sober folks can be in those spaces, but it is the culture as far as I remember it when I was doing that.
Well, it's like everybody was hanging out all the time, and I was spending a lot of time just practicing. Just
yoga.
For the sake of practicing. Yeah, practicing yoga. And I really enjoyed what Durham was like at that time.
It was the same time. I was 24, you were 26.
No, totally. Right.
In the same downtown, in the same Five Points.
Totally. Literally. Wow. It was a good time. If you were there, you know.
That's true.
It was a vibe. It was a good time. The pinhook was just like everything. Amazing. Yeah. Everything was fun. Queer people everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Real shit. It was a good time.
Although, you know, you missed the queer house party era, which happened right before the pinhook era.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Where, you know, different houses held down different like holidays.
Mm.
Holidays. And like there was a New Year's house. This lesbian couple would always do New Year's. There was this like collective house that always did Halloween.
Mm.
And then we had summer dance parties, just like, you know, different people's birthdays. There'd be a Scorpio party every year.
Mm.
You know, Scorpios threw a Scorpio party.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the Scorpios just celebrated their birthday together.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute. And yeah, Ira, Durham, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Love that town. Although... my friend and I were talking about it. He's from a place called Pecatonica, Illinois, mm-hmm. which I love to say, Pecatonica. And he was asking me why I don't just like, you know, make a goal to come back to Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Durham to him is where he went to.
Mm-hmm.
And Durham is my Pecatonica.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love getting to put that way to him because it, it's true. It was the place. It's like a place I love and want to be around and stuff. Mm. But there is a bit of like, I don't want to be in my hometown forever.
Totally.
You know, with nothing in between. And maybe some people do. And I think that's great.
No, that's definitely how I felt about Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
Although recently I've been more interested in Greensboro, but not like more interested, but like in a, I wouldn't mind it kind of way. But
well, you've done a lot in between the last time you were there, too.
That's a very good point. Should we talk about what's new in Paradise?
I would love that.
Yeah, well, so, okay, I was in the airport today. I went to L.A. On Monday. Just got back today. Last week, I went to South Africa or came back from South Africa. I had gone to South Africa the prior week. And
for those 7 days.
Yes, for those there 7 days. Yeah, it was an interesting thing. I went to Alaska. I went to South Africa.
It's amazing.
It's my first time going to Africa. It was amazing. I loved it so much, so dearly. I did not want to come home. True story.
What comes to mind when I say, what was your favorite moment? First thing. I know you can't have one.
The first thing that comes to my mind is not my favorite moment.
Oh, okay.
But it was very indicative of the trip itself. We had so much difficulty finding food there. I don't understand what was going on. But I don't know if it was like, I don't know what was going on. The hotel food was, I don't know. It was just a random situation.
Mm.
But what comes up first for me is like, I feel like it was the day we got there. We went to the hotel restaurant and like, it was just like weirdly overdressed for the weather. It was so much hotter there than I thought it was going to be. I looked at the weather before we left and they said like 60s and 70s. And I was like, that's not that hot. So maybe I won't bring like all my hot, hot weather clothes. But what I didn't understand about being below the equator is that everything is hot. So especially being that close to the equator. So it was very hot, I thought, the whole time we were there. Not like hot, hot, but like hot, you know. And so that first day, went outside, and I feel like I might have been wearing Uggs or something. It was just like very random clothes to be wearing. And we sat outside. It rained randomly, too, also. Mm. It's that kind of climate where it'll rain randomly. And the food I just remember the food being really random that was ordered, like... And then I asked for a glass of almond milk, which is not on the menu, but I needed it for my Sunrider Foods. Just like trying to have a breakfast type of meal, but it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But then that is actually also like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning here. I don't know. It was just a very confusing situation. That's the first thing that comes up. I guess maybe that's not the thing to say is, okay, the other first thing that comes up was finding the 420 cafe. That was really wonderful for me. Cannabis is decriminalized in South Africa.
Hell yeah.
And I really feel like they have done what everywhere in the world should do, which is just decriminalize it, thereby making it not a crime to have cannabis. and then just don't do anything else. Don't worry about legalizing it. Don't try to make a legal market for
it. Don't try to make money off of people's medicine.
Don't try to make money off of people's medicine. That's exactly right. It's like trying to make money off of people's fucking gardens or something. Like, no, you should just be able to grow the plant. And that's pretty much what people do. It just, people grow the plant or have the plant. You can buy it places. It's not outrageously priced. You can smoke it pretty openly. It's not a big deal that people are not pressed about it. And that I really appreciate. And when we first got there, we found this place called 420 Cafe that is exactly what it sounds like, a 420 cafe. You can go there and smoke weed and they sell it there. And it was just really chill. And I was, we had been flying for quite some time and had not brought anything along. And so being able to find it so quickly and just have like such a chill experience right off the bat was really nice.
How'd you find it? And what city were you in? You're in Johannesburg.
We were in Johannesburg and we found it. There was some digging that was required. I think I actually found it on Reddit ultimately. But then like you could look it up on Google Maps and it was there. But it was the sort of situation where like we had to dig a little bit to figure out where shit was going
to
be.
Reddit
to the rescue and then just like Google deep diving. But yeah, it was interesting. We were also looking up information about like queer nightlife and did not find that much stuff. And we wondered if it's even like being blocked to some degree or like, I don't know what the situation is in South Africa, frankly. But since then, I've seen like queer South Africa shit and like, I say this all the time. I've never met a straight black person. So I feel like, maybe we just didn't know who to ask. But actually we did. I think we just weren't there long enough.
I was going to say, you'll be back.
But it's cool. The festival was cool. It was weird to not travel with you. That was weird in the sense that like, even though I've traveled a lot without you, we've traveled a lot together recently.
And in this version of our work.
Yeah. Yes. And so that was a new thing. And
it was so cool that Angel got to travel with you.
It was. I really enjoyed doing that. It was our first time traveling together. I really like working with her. I feel like it's really cool.
I like that we don't have to bleep her name because she's in the credits. That's what that's my metric. It's like if you're in the credits, your name doesn't get bleeped.
I like that. Well, my other friend whose name I won't say so that it doesn't need to be bleeped.
That you won't say again?
Oh, I already said it. Okay. Well, my other friend, my good sister friend came with us on the trip as well. And that was dope. And it was dope to be like three black American femmes in Johannesburg. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
The festival was cool. The Adidas Impossible Festival. It's like a fitness Afropunk. My sister friend and I called it. Yeah, it was like fitness Afropunk. It was dope. It was so hype. I was like, oh my God, the energy was so intense. Everybody was like, everybody's getting their life. It was a good time. I was honored to be a part of it.
You looked amazing on social media.
Yeah, it was a good time.
You taught in the rain.
I did. So I went down there to teach a yoga class and it started torrential downpour right as I was supposed to start teaching. And like, they kept like holding off because there were like lightning warnings. And so they couldn't have, everybody had been like all out on the lawn and they made everybody go undercover. And like, they're like, how far away is the lightning? How far is the way? This is like a regular thing in Johannesburg. So like, they were doing all these lightning checks and then eventually it was like, we just have to do it because the timing is going to be off. And like there was like a neighborhood sound watch thing that we couldn't be making loud sound after a certain point in the day. So at a certain point I just had to go on and it was really, really a very beautiful experience for me and really the whole reason for the season, the whole reason to do everything to me. It was very cleansing for me. I was getting poured on at like the peak of teaching. It was just like fully raining on me and I needed it to rain on me. It was really like needed. It was very cleansing, very spiritually cleansing, and watching everybody like practice the way that they were. So like the tents that everybody was underneath were not set up for people to be doing yoga. So like there's like chairs, some people are sitting, some people are like standing, some people are sitting down on the ground. Like, no, it's not like a sea of yoga mats the way that I think Adidas had planned it. But that to me made it even more beautiful, because I feel like that's what yoga is just being however you are. It's adapting the posture for wherever you are, however you are, and like just finding the spaciousness within you that is already there. And it was really cool to be in space with people doing that and to like just be energetically there. And also to be at home, because to go to Africa really did feel like going home in a lot of ways. Like it felt like this is the climate that my body is supposed to be in. This is, these are the people my body is supposed to be around. This is who, this is where I come from. And even though like I feel fairly certain that my family is not from South Africa or from the southern part of Africa at all, but I was just like really grateful to be back home in that way. And it was so weird to like have home somewhere that you have never been before. Like that is not, it's like not technically home, you know, but it is ultimately like it is such a wild thing. You think you experienced that in England?
I'm sure.
You know you would, baby.
Ireland?
No, you know you're British. Aren't you English?
Yeah, I got a lot of English in there. Yeah. Maybe. I guess maybe we'll find out one day. I'll tell you this.
Bringing teeth or pinky out.
I'll tell you this. I've never been more like envious isn't quite exactly how I felt, but there's definitely like a compersion jealousy blend when you went to see the Spice Girls in London.
Damn, that was peak.
Oh yeah.
Peak. That was a good time.
Pre-COVID.
Man, you remember the days before we wore face masks everywhere? Damn, that was a really good time.
With this, your same sister friend?
With my same sister friend.
Yeah, we travel.
We do. We also went to Sweet Heat together in Miami, Florida. But Sweet Heat, the queer black lesbian experience, I would say. The at least southern queer black lesbian experience.
I love that. Dinosaur.
It was 100%, baby.
No, but Dinosaur, Sweet Heat is black.
No, Sweet Heat is black Dinosaur, for sure.
Nice.
It is, no.
You're like, no, you don't know.
No.
I can't go.
There were white boos there.
Yeah.
And you can't have, you can't have any black dykes around and I have a white boo or two.
I know, but like, I don't know that I identify as a white boo. In that way, like in black spaces. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the kind of person, you know, there's a white boo who got to be in the black spaces.
No, that's a good, very good point.
And man. I would say that is not exactly how
that's
I'm.
That's not who you are. No, that's a good point. Okay. But you are correct about that. Yeah. We were talking about that in Africa. Me and my sister friend were talking about how it's like everybody get a white boo time, day. Everybody, it's like bring your white boo to work day all the time. Like, why everybody got a white boo now? Can't help it. Colonization is a bitch. Anyway, so then, but
it's funny to me that you constantly date highly sensitive people. I am just noticing what an interesting matchup that always is. You love to just go right for the like.
I'm very sensitive too.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm pretty gruff myself.
You're so gruff.
We're both so
joking?
Gruff and so sensitive.
Literally.
What's that about?
No, can't dish it. Can't take it. Dishing, but can't take it.
Well, I think we teach each other lots and lots.
I do too. I think we teach each other so much.
Do you want to do an Astro Thought Week?
The fucking Mars Saturn conjunction started on Monday, or we went into it on Monday, and. We had a very explosive Monday. And it felt like that astrology in living color. Chani said there was going to be a reality check, a very serious reality check. And you and I had a pretty serious reality check on Monday.
It's true.
And it feels like that could even be continuing to today. Mm. Just the intensity of the energy.
Mm.
I think it's probably the astrology. Totally. But everything always is. So
she said this week was going to just be real thick emotions and decisions and things coming to the surface that have been sort of hidden or not talked about, and that this week is just going to be bumpy with all of that. And it has been. She weren't wrong. But, you know, there is this thing that happens. It's like springtime. It's Aries season. There's like a lot of like, for me, I've had a lot of big emotions, but some of them have been towards motivation, which isn't always true. So I can appreciate that about it. Like the go-getter nature of Aries, especially in Aries and Aries season, I feel like has pulled me from the depths a little bit. That came as a result of some of our explosive decisions and reactions and stuff. So yeah, it's definitely been an astro thought of the week. For sure. I'm sorry to cut it. I really wish I wasn't so tired.
I don't think it's unreasonable for you to be tired. I'm also extremely tired. I feel you.
Yeah, we'll be back here again soon.
Yeah.
I love you. Thanks for doing this with me. See ya.
Bye.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Jamie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.